Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the chapter dealing with the ikhlas niyat, with the sincerity of intention, and istihdhar niyat is to have the presence of intention. Person is doing an action that he should check that what is the condition, what niyat I have at this moment. Is this niyat to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do I have any ulterior niyats? If a person checks his niyat before he does an action, whilst he's doing an action, if it's a prolonged action, whilst he's doing it also, for example, he's performing umrah, and whilst he's performing that umrah, it takes some time, so he's checking his niyat again. Am I doing it solely for the sake of Allah, to please Allah, or am I doing it for somebody else? Am I this qurbani animal that I'm doing, did I purchase it, did I keeping it, am I slaughtering it to show people or to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So all the time a person is checking his intention. When he's going to work also, he's asking himself that, am I going to work to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fulfill the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of working and providing halal rozi so that I don't have to extend my hands to anybody. So when a person is doing this, then two things happen. One is he's able to check and put a finger on the pulse of the niyat that he has. And the other thing that happens also is a person now, by correcting his niyat, this now becomes an ibadat. He's correcting his niyat. So what he's doing now becomes an action that becomes noble just by correcting the niyat. And the same action, if the niyat is incorrect, the niyat is wrong, then sometimes a good action becomes a bad action. A good action becomes something that the person will be taken to task on the day of Qiyamah, because this person now is doing it for ulterior motives. He's doing something of ibadat, outwardly seeming ibadat, but he's doing it to impress people, or he's doing it for some other reason. And Abi Musa عبد الله بن قيس الأشعري رضي الله عنه قال سئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الرجل يقاتل شجاعة ويقاتل حمية ويقاتل رياء أي ذلك في سبيل الله وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قاتل لتكون كلمة الله العليا فهو في سبيل الله متفق عليه. حضرت عبد الله بن قيس الأشعري رضي الله عنه, حضرت أبو موسى الأشعري رضي الله عنه, his name, actual name was عبد الله بن قيس. So he was known famously as Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, originally from Yemen. He accepted Islam and he was such a great sahabi. He should read Qirat so beautifully. His Quran was very, very beautiful. But even in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to issue fatawa. And in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam zamana, that he was appointed to issue fatawa. Such a great sahabi. So anyway, he's relating this hadith. He said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about a person who fights to display his bravery. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was asked about these categories of people. One is a person who fights to display his bravery. Another is a person who fights to protect his family honor. And a person who fights to show off, and whether any of them were in the cause of Allah Ta'ala. So now he's asking that who is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first category of person is fighting to show people that how brave I am, that I can fight. The second type of person is who's fighting hamiyatan. Hamiyatan is where a person, andadun, just because it's my family matter, I need to take it up to keep the respect of my family. He's not looking at the facts of the matter. It's just that it's my family, it's my surname, it's my khandan, it's my lineage, so I need to keep the respect of my family. So his whole thing is more lineage, rather than actually looking, seeing whether it's right, whether it's wrong, whether it's in keeping with Shariat, whether it's not keeping in Shariat. And the third type of people is وَيُقَاتِلُ رِيَاءً, a person is doing it just as a show. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has asked which one of them are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See what a beautiful answer Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam gives. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam replied, the person who fights so that the word of Allah ta'ala may reign supreme is the one who is in the cause of Allah ta'ala. In other words, that person who's got the right niyat, he is the one that is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is fighting so that the word of Allah ta'ala, the religion, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may reign supreme. That is his niyat. So that type of person is out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here again we learn that it is the intention that counts. If outwardly you look at all three categories of people, they all looking the same. They all are fighting in the path of Allah ta'ala. But what differentiates them is the niyat. Niyat is such a powerful thing that it differentiates somebody from doing something. All the outward qualities are there, but the internal quality is not there. It renders that action void. Even though it may be fighting in the path of Allah, which is the highest of actions, it's rendered void because what is in the heart is incorrect. And Abi Bakrata Luqay ibn Haris al-Thaqafi radiyallahu anhu anna Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal إذا التقى المسلمان بسيفيهما فالقاتل والمقتول في النار قلت يا رسول الله هذا القاتل ما بال المقتول قال إنه كان حريصا على قتل صاحبه متفق عليه. حضرت نفي بن حارث رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when two Muslims attack each other, two Muslims are fighting with each other, two Muslims attack each other with their swords, then both the killer and the one who is killed will be in the fire of Jahannam. I asked, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can understand this with regards to the killer, but what about the one who is killed? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he was eager to kill his companion. In other words, the person who was killed, he also had that firm resolve in his heart that if I had a chance, I'll kill that person that had killed me. So here again, this hadith is showing us that such a powerful thing niyat is. That person that was killed also, but because he had that firm resolve and he took every action to go and try and kill the next person. Now they had two swords. They were fighting with their both swords. So in other words, he made that firm resolve and he took the action to do the wrong thing, to fight with his brother. So because of that niyat, this person will be in Jahannam. So here again we see that even though he was killed, but he'll still be in the fire of Jahannam because of that bad niyat. The ulama explained that it is the clemency and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when a person just makes a good niyat, immediately Allah ta'ala rewards him for it. But when it comes to gunas, when it comes to sin, it doesn't just work like a person just makes a niyat to commit the sin, immediately he gets the guna. It's the favor of Allah ta'ala that he grants respite. He doesn't make it such that it's recorded that this person has made a niyat to commit a sin, no. But when a person continues to take that niyat to such a level that it reaches azam. Azam means he makes a firm resolve that I've got all my plans in place now, everything I need to do to commit the sin. When it reaches that stage, and now for some reason this person can't commit it, maybe he'll fall ill, or maybe he's prevented, or maybe a person meets up with some accident, so he's unable to get to that place, but he made a firm resolve, and now he moves in that direction, now only the guna is written to his name. So not just by that niyat, but where that niyat is taken up to his condition, where all the preparations are made, a firm resolve has been made that I'm going to go out and carry out this guna, then only Allah Ta'ala records the guna to his name. So this is the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. When it comes to good deeds, a person just has to make niyat in his heart, immediately that good deed is given to that person. But when it comes to guna, he has to have a very, very high level of resolve before the guna is written to his name. So therefore many people complain that we're getting these bad doubts or bad thoughts coming to our mind. We don't know what to do. That's why Shariat is just ignore it. Don't even pay any attention to it. Why Allah Ta'ala in his clemency and his mercy is not recording any guna for you by those thoughts coming in the mind. Only when it's taken to another level, to a firm resolve level, then now you're going to get guna for it. So don't even worry about it. Ulama give an example, like a person that is driving a car and he's on the road and there may be a truck in front of him and the truck has got all, for example, swines in there. Now a person doesn't look at it and pay attention to it, what he'll do? He'll just overtake it, it's on a highway, he'll just overtake it and he'll carry on moving. He won't stay behind it and worry about it. Similarly, when we are faced with doubts and bad thoughts, we don't continue paying attention to it, just carry on, overtake and move. Don't let it pass the mind. Another example ulama gives is like dogs that are barking on the side of the road. Every dog that barks on the side, a person doesn't stop now, look and think, why are you barking, paying attention to it? He just carries on with his work. He got his work to do. He doesn't pay. So these evil thoughts and these doubts that come in the mind, just treat it like that. Like that truck of swine, just overtake it, continue. Don't pay attention to it. Or like those dogs that are barking, a person just carries on his journey. He doesn't pay any attention to it. The more attention we start paying to these doubts, then the more the doubts start playing in the mind. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.